oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review. A look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The fact that we have the history now of him buying this knife, and then after the fact, after the murders, his history shows he goes back to Amazon and looks again at the same knife, and I don't believe he bought a new one, but it was, you know, looked at, considered. What does that tell us, I guess, of anything about this case, of about that piece of evidence, that he left the sheath there? We still don't know what actually happened to the knife itself. Why would he be going back and looking at this again? Is he, you know, wanting to get a replacement sheath, or is this so he has it in his possession, so if they ever do look at him, oh, I got my knife right here. Now, it couldn't have possibly been mine. I'm just trying to think, what is going on in that brain of his, that broken brain, that this is going to be a solution to a problem that he's facing?
I think that's one of the options and possibilities, that he was looking to replace that which he lost. There's also the possibility that he liked the method for his execution of his horrendous crime, and he wanted to use it again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the possibility that I'm kind of thinking of just him as individual, of kind of being, again, just from the third party looking in, you know, of maybe being a bit OCD, and he's going to really fixate on exactly how he did what he did with what he did it with. And he was going to kind of maybe examine whether that was effective or not effective or not. I think he was going to study himself and how that actually worked. And because this is what serial killers in infancy do, is they examine what they did and think about how could they do it better next time. So that might've been part of his own self-study as well.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if he was, thinking about, well, let's go for a round two somewhere.
I'm on board with that. That's exactly what was going to happen next. This was not going to be a one off. I mean, because this, think about it. So people that are murdered and have violence done against them, that there's always a personal connection. Like we said, 95 to 98% of the time, there's a personal connection because of vengeance, feelings of hatred, anger, resentment, all the negative emotions towards an individual or an organization, institution, that all that rage gets directed at. And it's an arc of their lives that they're going to escalate to violence. When you're dealing with someone that doesn't have necessarily a deep connection at all, we don't know what prosecution knows or defense knows at this point when it comes to any connection at all, and we're going to start entering the world and realm of possibility of serial killer, you know, there's a whole different kind of mindset, that they're, the reason by which they're doing it, for a fantasy world. They're trying to fulfill an emotional fantasy to get an emotional response that they haven't felt in anything before, get that rush that they've been missing because they have psychopathy, they have a lack of empathy, as he's just self-described in his writings earlier in life. And so this might have been just the first, most likely, to a series of what he was going to do, like serial killers do, to get that fantasy, to get that rush. You know, and that kind of brings us to the point, too, you know, of that selfie he took.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, you know, when you there's going to be a lot of conjecture, a lot of theories out there on that, and people a lot more professional probably about it than I am. But when you look at that, you know, right there, that thumbs up, what serial killers, not saying he's a serial killer, who knows at this point, not convicted or not, obviously, but they're trophy. You know, they all go for trophies in some way. And the point of a trophy, the point of how they position bodies and do these things is so they can remember it and remember that fantasy to get that same rush. In this case, there was no, it doesn't appear to be, again, we don't know all the evidence yet, any trophy that was taken from the scene. Bodies didn't have time to necessarily be staged for his own mental fantasy. So what's he have to do to remember the moment? Bam.
Yeah. Thumbs up. After he gets his shower and he gets all cleaned up.
So it'd be interesting too, is, you know, because kind of thinking about what this could serve in a courtroom is if you then, I don't have the ability to put my hand over it, but if you put your hand right above his nose there and then show that photo to the one surviving, you know, the one, you know, the survivor who saw the bushy eyebrow.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Just kind of, yeah, I'm going to see.
Take that, because, you know, yeah. If the, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Take that and show that in the courtroom.
Yeah. It's distinctive without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, you could put a, you know, you could just draw on that and you put a mask and go,
You can generate an AI, you know, photo of that, you know, of what it would look like as she described it and then show it to her. And then, so who knows how her, she's been through a lot of trauma, you know, the one surviving roommate. I don't guarantee, but you put that in the courtroom with that image on there, and watch the emotional response she has to actually seeing what she saw that night.
Yeah.
You're going to know whether it's accurate or not.
You're going to get a trigger response pretty quick there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The selfie itself, again, it's insane. If he did this, if there's one thing that's going to get him in front of a firing squad, it's this.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Tony, one more thing to look at in this photo too.
Yeah.
So think about everything, again, just things that start popping out at you. Think about all the images we've seen of Koberger to this point. What's different in this photo?
He's smiling. It's the only one he's smiling in.
What did we just spend our time talking about? A lack of emotional response, and this was going to be the only thing that gave an emotional response, and there it is.
Yeah.
He feels an emotion.
Yeah.
First time we've seen it.
And that's what drives some of these people. They have to go to these extremes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So the conjecture being, so again, if I was the prosecution, that's exactly what I would be highlighting right now. Is like, here's someone who's self-described, does not have an emotional response to anything, has that visual snow issue going on in life and everything else, as he has described himself as being, at being non-emotional, non-responsive to anything. All the photos, and then I'd show a series of photos of him in the courtroom, photos of him everywhere in life where he's just got the stoic, non-demonstrative facial expressions always. And the only facial expression we've ever seen ever of him that shows any kind of emotion is what they're claiming happened after the murder there. That's exactly what I'd be pointing out.
It's ghoulish. I don't know any way to describe it. It's just ghoulish. But I also think there's a lot to this picture. It's in front of a shower. I mean, of all the places you could take a selfie, of all the places you could do it, if you want to take one, you're doing it in front of your shower that doesn't appear to have a shower curtain. I don't know that means anything, but it's interesting. But you're there, and he's very clean, very like white, bright white shirt. It's all buttoned up. He's got his hair slicked back. You know, he's freshly cleaned with the thumbs up, ready for the day. Is this picture just for him, or is this, I was also wondering, and I, again, this is where we don't know so much of the digital footprint yet. I mean, is this something where, hey, this is for his incel buddies if he has them? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved in that sort of, you know, self-commiserating community of people who are just insane, and their hatred towards women of, hey, you know, got one for the team or whatever the hell he's telling himself.
Yeah, what we'll see when they, you know, when we go to trial, if there's more to the digital footprint in his communication with an incel group or not, but we don't have data on that yet.
Yeah, it's speculation.
At this point, I think that's for him.
Is it, are we dealing with confirmation bias right now? Because a lot of people are pointing to this picture. And I know the answer is yes. But I want to get...
There's no doubt.
I want to get your take, and you know where I'm going with this, is the thumb. It does look a little bit, I mean, it's a pretty grainy photo, but it looks like there might have been some friction there on that thumb. I mean, if you're stabbing, you're gonna get that friction in that exact spot. Is that a stretch, or are we seeing something here?
Maybe he'd be wearing gloves though at that time. So yeah, it's interesting. So here's what's also interesting.
Even
so
with when gloves, you look,
When you looked at him, you were describing him as if he was post shower. When I'm looking at him, I'm looking at possibly someone who just came in from something that caused him to be really sweaty with a mask on and a hat on.
So, interesting. Yeah, we have two different takes on that on our initial.
Yeah, so that's why I mean that's where there's so many different takes you could have on this, because it looks like, you know, I see a shirt that's buttoned up that that would keep any kind of splatter off of him, you know, going around the rest of the body, and it looks like he could have just come in and he's about to go in the shower from something he just did, and he's all hot and sweaty from it. So it's either, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Who knows? But there's a lot of possibilities there.
I don't know. You're the one with the FBI experience being
what a conjecture train we're on.
But
though, you know?
My God, like, I'm going to yield to your because God.
It's just the first impressions we get.
Behaviorally, I mean, that's interesting. That I didn't think of it that way.
And so when you look at that too, I really wish we had other photos of him in this same time period, because it'd be really interesting. Because to me, I mean, just look at the eyes. You look at the skin tone. I mean, this looks like somebody who's been up all night. He looks exhausted. He looks tired.
Vampire.
Yeah, seriously. But at the same time, it's one data point, so we have nothing to compare it to. This could be completely his normal look, which is kind of as it is. But again, you can't judge it. It's a standalone shot. That's why I really wish we had more data points to compare it to, which they might. Who knows? I do think, though, that's most likely taken for his own benefit, because think about it. Serial killers, they like to remember the moment, because this is the emotion it creates.
Yeah. It'll bring him back to this happiness.
Yes.
As weird as that is. But that this is a moment of a rare moment of happiness, I'm going to say, in his life. That's my conjecture.
You can conjecture out on this one, that this would be part of, again, if this was able to continue with someone like this. Okay, let's just take his name out of this. Someone like this. Let's say this person is the person that did it. This would be part of their trophies now. I think if other murders, that happened along the train, we'd start seeing a collection of these types of photos.
It's interesting, because so many times we see like an object. I don't think I've ever seen a selfie as the photo. And I wonder if that's going to be a new thing, because, you know, it is a relatively new thing that people are taking selfies the way they are.
I think it's also part of how he did what he did and where he did it and who he did it to. Mm-hmm. He didn't have like other serial killers we've seen. It's been really in remote areas. It's been areas that they really control the environment and the time of that environment. So they could really do a lot of things to the bodies, to position them, to hide them, to stage them in areas that gave them that fantasy world that they're looking for. Where he did this didn't allow him to do that because of the time constraints he was put on. Plus, there's a freaking witness in the house still. So it's interesting. I don't think he understood necessarily what he needed to get out of this, that he was actually doing this for this emotional response in order to relive that emotional response, what he's going to have to do in order to do that, like staging and all these other things, trophies or whatever it is. And so when he came back from it, he might be saying to himself, you know, how am I going to relive this moment? Mm-hmm. Because it's gone now unless I can do something. Bam.
I think we have the answer.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Brian Koberger may be at the end of the line here in terms of any sort of defensible arguments that are going to be made in his upcoming trial, as Judge Hippler is, you know, the other week said, hey, we're going to not do all this under the cover of dark. We're going to start releasing some things, and the public has a right to see what the hell's going on here. And oh, are we seeing things like an Amazon shopping history that just happens to have the knife, the sheath, and the sharpener all in the purchase history of Brian Koberger. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. I know this is something that we've been speculating on for quite a while. The Dateline episode that you were in, it was brought up that it might be out there, and now we have confirmation that it actually is. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's, you know, to me, this is talk about another nail in the coffin. I'm just being, you know, candid. This case is one of the strongest cases I've ever seen, not just because of the DNA, but the total package of evidence. And now we don't have the murder weapon, mm-hmm. but by gosh, you've got the accused murderer buying the murder weapon, which is quite unique. Mm-hmm. This isn't just your average steak knife that might have been in the kitchen drawer. This is a weapon meant to kill. That's what it's designed for.
And the fact that he purchases this thing almost like 6 months or so before the actual crime itself, what does that tell you? Is that premeditation? Do you think he just bought this thing on a whim back then? And then when he decided to actually execute this plan, if he did, obviously he's innocent until proven guilty, but if he did, he's like, oh, I got a knife, I'll use this knife. Or do you think it goes back all the way to May when this thing was purchased, that he had a plan in his mind?
Oh, I absolutely believe he had a plan, but I don't think he had a plan when he purchased it. I think he had a plan months, if not years, before purchasing it. I think he has dreamed of this moment. This is all the times he has been what he believed is discarded, ignored, not given the attention he wanted, not able to get the ladies he wanted. The slaps in the face he's really received his whole life, as he describes it, his visual snow and being tortured in that way, his lack of empathy for anyone, including his family, that he discusses. And it all was accumulating. And this was just one step to get closer to being able to exact out this sort of revenge.
Do you think he thought he was going to get caught?
No, I don't think he was. And I have to tell you, but for all those times that, in my opinion, he practiced snapping and unsnapping that sheath, practicing getting that knife out, but for that and leaving those pieces of his dead skin cells on that snap, geez, Tony, we might still be wondering who the four people were or who the killer of the four kids in that house was.
Yeah, and then we have the fact, too, that he was looking at possibly buying another one after the murder. Now, we don't know whatever happened to the actual weapon itself. The sheath, obviously, was at the crime scene underneath one of the victims. But then it looks like he was contemplating at least getting a replacement or a replacement sheath. What do you think the thought process was there?
Well, you know, it's also talking about the sharpener, right?
Yeah.
The K-bar knife, would it have ever been used previous to this? I would significantly doubt that. Yet he had a sharpener. Mm-hmm. Was that to resharpen and reuse? That was the first thing that came to my mind. And then, of course, the footnote that he was going to purchase another, and this was after the crime. Many of us in law enforcement, many of us that know this case inside and out, we have said this was a serial killer in the making if he would have gotten away from it. I will never stray from that opinion. And I believe this just further supports that idea.
Yeah, like he might have been planning to amp it up again. It's so dark to think of. And this is just, you know, some of the early things that we're learning. You spoke of the sharpener, which I thought was interesting because I saw a picture of the sharpener online. And I don't know if you saw it on Twitter this last week. Someone had made a reference to, yeah, I mean, look at this thing. If you don't know what it is and it's in the dark and somebody's walking out of your house, the mention the other week was of a vacuum cleaner attachment because they didn't know what the heck it was. And so we're all like, well, did he bring a vacuum? I even brought a vacuum in here for a prop. Like, okay, here's a vacuum. This is like, you know, was he carrying this? Which would be kind of crazy. But if you look at the sharpener, you could think it might be a vacuum cleaner attachment, which again puts more validity on what that person saw, what one of the surviving roommates saw when this individual left the house. I just found it interesting that he brought the sharpener. Have you ever seen a case where the murderer brings a sharpener to the crime itself? I would think you maybe would already have it ready to go, but I guess, you know, maybe you need to sharpen it.
Yeah, if he did do that, yeah. And, you know, there's so many possibilities here because we don't know for sure, but we certainly know that sharpener was bought. And I agree with you. Most people would sharpen before they ever hit that crime scene. But, you know, I think many are at least believe in the possibility that he was so well prepared that he might have had clothing on top of his other clothing, that he could have had a plastic bag to discard what he knew would be bloody clothing in that to protect his vehicle and to protect, you know, blood transfer to his apartment and so forth. And if somebody's going to be that meticulous in their planning, it certainly makes some sense that you could bring a sharpener.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've never murdered before, and K-bar knives are known to dull quickly, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you would think he might have researched that.
And it makes sense. I mean, how mechanical he seems to be in his thinking. It's not a shocking thought that he would go, I might need the sharpener, and then add that to the list of things to have. And then, of course, after the fact, just mere hours after the murders take place, this is Koberger. Thumbs up. Nice, clean, white shirt standing in front of a shower. Weird. I think maybe the only picture I've ever seen him smiling and seeming to have some sort of enjoyment in, which I think is interesting. Your thoughts on the picture?
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts here. First of all, you know, I don't know if I might see a little bruising on that left hand, just in the webbing, below the webbing and some things. It's difficult to definitely say. But I think that this could act. Do you see that right down there?
Yeah.
A little bit further down.
Yeah.
If you can make your camera go down there it is. See on that corner, almost at the bone.
Yeah.
Below the thumb, and you know, just the discoloration I just found interesting. I also found it interesting that he's buttoned up tight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just shows you his sort of meticulous type personality. I also thought it was interesting that he has his earbuds in. I wondered if he might be listening to something very, you know, sinister in those. In other words, a song or something that meant something to him.
Yeah.
I also found it interesting. It's hard to tell if there's a shower curtain there. To me, mm-hmm. I think taking it in front of that shower curtain or in front of that shower, we know there was never a shower curtain when law enforcement went.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when it was taken down. A lot of people think that white edging is the shower curtain. It could mm-hmm. be the shower curtain. It could be the edge of the stall there. It's really hard to tell. But I think no matter what, it signifies, I can just see him with blood, you know, that would have been, you know, soaked up and mm-hmm. absorbed in the hair and in the, you know, his hands and things just going down that drain. I can just see this, the fact he got rid of that shower curtain, you know, was there spatter on it? I just think this shower area that he chose to take this selfie. I think it's important.
He doesn't seem like a selfie kind of guy. That was the first thing I thought when I said, like, he took a selfie. Interesting. He doesn't seem to be that type of a person, but he did. And this seems to be a moment, like I said, it's the only time I've ever seen him smile, a moment of joy, a moment of satisfaction. You can see it in that picture. And when you know what he's accused of doing just hours before, that makes it even creepier and even darker to think of this satisfaction in front of a shower. Was this a trophy? Is this, you know, because he didn't, as far as we know, we didn't take any trophies from the scene. Is this picture a trophy where he can look back on it and remember that moment where he is in just utter adulation?
Yeah, trophy meant to, you know, commemorate what happened.
Yeah.
This, he can look at this and remember every detail. I also found it interesting that his face was so very white.
Mm-hmm.
It looks in this picture like he hasn't had a meal or, you know, oxygen for quite a long time. It's just obviously blissful and happy, but also just creepy.
It's like a vampire.
Like you would envision somebody to look after they took somebody's life from, yeah. As I said, just this facial expression and the lack of coloring. The other thing, Tony, is there's never been, at least that I'm aware of, any definitive answer of his left and right handedness.
Mm-hmm.
I've really tried to find it.
Me too.
I believe she said at one point he was right-handed, but I could not find that document to say that. But you notice he's taking it with his right hand here.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people manipulate a selfie. You set it up, you know, you have to press the buttons with their off hand. So this made me think he was right-handed. We're going to know all of this based on the wounds soon enough. But that was another thing. I just thought, seems like he might be right-handed.
Yeah, I mean, there's pictures say 1,000 words, and this one really says a lot. What exactly it's saying, I think there's a lot of questions there. But just the fact that he's taking this, do you think this was just for himself, or was this something that maybe he put out somewhere? The first thing that came to my mind, and again, we don't know any info on this, if there is any, because he very much seems kind of an incel type dude. I'm very curious about the digital footprint, if he's had involved in any of those communities or commiserates or whatever with them, if this was a, you know, mission accomplished guys type thing to something so heinous, or is this just solely for his enjoyment?
I do not think that he sent this to any particular person or you know, somebody else. Mm-hmm. But what I do think is I could see him using this as his screensaver, something that popped up on that cell phone or his computer every time he opened it up. I could see that definitely happening, or something in his social media, you know, to be his icon. That's how I took it. Not sending it to somebody, but being able to look at it for himself.
God, can you imagine, like, every time you open your phone and he would be, that's your screen background. That's a horrible joke to play on somebody. It's like, who changed my screen? What is this? Give you nightmares for days, years. My God. Well, I'm curious as to see what will drop next. Is this the end of the road, do you think, for Koberger? Is this the one that's going to seal the deal? And do you think that this, with now that this is out there, and obviously Ann Taylor knows more of what's in the discovery, are we going to get to a trial? Is there going to be some sort of pleading at some point to save his life? Because I feel like that's kind of where we're at right now.
So I do not think Koberger will want to plead.
No.
I could be wrong. I've always said it's possible because one of his idols was BTK, Dennis Rader. And Dennis Rader, out of the blue, very bizarrely, decided to plead guilty.
I remember that.
With not, you know, giving anybody really any notice. So could he follow in those tracks? I think that is a possibility. But boy, he seems dug in. And remember, and I know people don't like it when I say this, but I just call him balls and strikes, Tony. There is so much money involved in representing him. Yeah. Her salary has skyrocketed. There's multiple other attorneys. I think we're up to four now on the case. And they just brought on a new DNA person, even though they already had another DNA person. The amount of money involved in this deal is great. And so it's really not, I just don't think there's incentive. And I think that they think they'll be able to get him off from, if he's convicted, from the death penalty with all of this autism and he has, you know, a disorder when it comes to
that's
being
the
able
newest
to
argument.
Run and you know, whatever.
I know. It's like, what? Every day I'm hearing their arguments and I'm just like, God, Ann Taylor, you are creative. My goodness, you are creative. And God knows, I don't think any of that will work. I think if there's anything that this selfie is going to do, it's going to get a bullet in him from a firing squad. And I think if you're sitting on that jury and you have any question about his empathy or anything, and you see this picture, this would be the vote. This is what would push me over to say, yeah, let's get him off the face of this planet. The selfie that takes his life, I think, is what it might end up being.
No, I was just going to say, there's going to be more. I know it seems like, boy, this couldn't get any worse for Brian Koberger. We haven't even got to look at his digital footprint across the board. Everything he's Googled, everything he has said in terms of digitally, we haven't even gotten to see that. I think it's going to be very interesting and damning.
There's a lot to come.
Craving nonstop true crime updates?
Sorry about
press
that.
Subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.